I'm Demae Roberts, stage and studio. Today, a one-hour membership drive edition for Black History Month. We're focusing on three Portland productions about or by strong women. First off, we'll visit with three actors from In the Blood by Pulitzer Prize-winning African-American playwright Suzanne Laurie Parks. It's being produced by Portland Actors Conservatory. Then we'll meet Maisha McQueen, starring as the famed singer-actress Ethel Waters in His Eye is on the Sparrow at Portland Center Stage. And in the final part of the one-hour special, Shalonda Sims updates us on her yearly Black History Month original stage production of Who I Am Celebrating Me at Concordia College. We'll have tickets for all of these shows available for your KBOO membership, so stay with us. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Demae Roberts. With me in the studio are actors Monica Fleetwood. Welcome.
Hello.
And with her are Jacob Beaver. Is that correct?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. And also Tahara Cozier.
Hi.
Did I say your name right?
Tahara. Yep.
Tahara. Thank you. Thank you so much. And you're all from Portland Actors Conservatory's production of In the Blood by Suzanne Laurie Parks. I want to welcome you all to this membership edition of Stage and Studio. How was opening weekend? You opened this weekend. What was it like for you? Anybody want to jump in there?
Personally, I thought it was really exciting. It went fairly well. All of the audience were very engaging. Because it's kind of a heavy play. So when you get met with unexpected laughs here and there, or you have an occasional gasp or intake of surprise, it's really nice to hear the audience, because we've been in this process where it's just been us and a director and a couple of faculty members. So it's cool to get that different type of energy, and you can see. With the unexpected laughter or gasp or something like that, you can really tell the humanity of the play just by being in it. So it's really cool to see that and have that different dynamic now that we're open.
That's wonderful. There were a lot of Facebook comments in the positive about the show and how wonderful it was. So I'm glad you had a great experience with it. So Suzanne Laurie Parks is a Pulitzer Prize winning playwright, and she's the first African-American woman to win that award. And her best known play is Top Dog Underdog, about two African-American brothers named Lincoln and Booth. In the Blood is loosely based on The Scarlet Letter by Nathaniel Hawthorne. And Monica, you play the main character, Hester, and she is a homeless single mom of five children. You want to tell us more about your character?
So, yes, Hester is homeless. However, she is a very optimistic and imaginative, engaging. She has five children. She every day wakes up and go through the monotonous things of life that we all do. However, her circumstances aren't fortunate, and so she cleans the house, she takes care of her kids, she makes sure they go to school. She's creative. She tells these fairy tales to engage them and keep their optimism up as much as hers. She just finds herself in the unfortunate situation of where she doesn't have people to support her as much as society would have us believe in real life. And so that is what the play focuses on, is that you have these five people that are in her life that are supposed to be there to uplift her and help her out, and then you find out they are doing more harm than good. But she is a beautiful, overwhelmingly positive, optimistic, sincere, caring, vulnerable, emotional person. She's amazing. She's a blessing to be playing.
You seem like you have a lot of admiration for Hester.
I do.
Just in how you're talking about it.
Yeah, I do. I will just share briefly. At first, I was very hesitant to play a character as Hester, because it just goes dang, we're just down in a duck again, and we can't seem to get up, and it's always something. But then you get these roles that are very, just gritty and just really have to push you, and it just makes you grow as a human being and as an artist, and I couldn't ask for a better opportunity. So I was very blessed to have this situation happen for me.
That's wonderful.
Yeah,
that's wonderful to hear that. Let's talk about your characters. So Tahara,
mm-hmm.
Tahara, would you tell us about your character?
Sure. So the interesting thing about this play is that Hester has five children, and then at each point we all double as these adults. And the thing about these adults is that they are, whereas she has all the optimism in the world, these characters, which are pretty much villains, are breaking that down in a way. And each character has like a different aspect of society, I guess, that is oppressing her in a way. So I am her caseworker. So I play like this intimidating person who's just trying to like keep her under her thumb. And instead of actually doing my job as a caseworker, I'm kind of like counteracting that. And that it's just, it's a really heavy subject, but it's just like, yeah, you just have this villain that's just trying to keep her down, and within a system that's already just not that encouraging. It's not a supportive system to begin with. So it's like you have this person who too is also a black woman that is keeping down this other black woman when she's supposed to be raising her up, because that is actually her job. She's paid to do that. And you're just not seeing that there.
Sounds very powerful too, to have this interaction with each other. You know? So Jacob, I guess you play a couple characters too.
Yeah. I double as Reverend D and Hester's infant child baby.
Well, that's kind of a stretch, isn't it?
Yeah. It's been a difficult ride for sure. Being baby has been really fun, because the difficulty of Reverend D and diving into his particular character is such a polar opposite than who I am as an individual.
Right.
So I've been kind of finding solace in baby and the simplicity and the free abandonment that is just being a child. I mean, come on, I get to crush cans for a while. That's a good time. So
is that some of the comic relief there a little bit?
Yeah, it's kind of a nice window into the family life of Hester and her kids, and how she takes care of them, and you know, being able not only in teaching them the ways of the world and helping with things around the house, and crushing cans is a way that they make money, and so makes it fun for baby to do that. So.
Well, it seems like in describing sort of the style of the play, would you say it's kind of a classic kind of a play? I mean, since it's based on The Scarlet Letter, but modernized, how would you describe the style of the play of In the Blood?
Mm. I think you kind of hit it. I mean, it's classical in a sense of, like, it's classical in a sense of, I think it's timeless. I mean, the play is set, Susan Laurie Parks wrote it in the here and now. And so whether that's here and now 50 years ago, whether that's going to be here and now 50 years from now. I would probably say like contemporary realism probably would be the best way.
All right. It sounds like an intriguing play. And Monica, I understand you have a monologue, but we're going to go to a break pretty soon. So I want to tease people that you're going to be performing right after this pitch break. We're going to continue this conversation. But a reminder that we're talking with about Portland Actors Conservatory's production of In the Blood by Suzanne Laurie Parks. And it's directed by Victor Mack. All performances run through February 26th at the Portland Actors Conservatory's Firehouse Theater. That's located at 1436 Southwest Montgomery Street in Portland. More info and tickets available at PAC, that's PAC.edu. And we have a couple pairs of tickets to offer for memberships by calling 1-877-500-5266 or go right now to kboot.fm. Let's check in with Membership Central.
Hey there. And you do have tickets available. We can hook you up right now. Minimum pledge $75 gets you a pair of tickets to In the Blood. It sounds like a terrific show. It's going to be a wonderful time, and you get to support your favorite radio station. What a deal. 877-500-5266. Or if you're online, just point your browser to kboo.fm, and boom, there you go.
877-500-5266. It's up to DMA to make Stage and Studio happen. It's up to you to make sure it has a place on the FM dial to get to your friends and neighbors. 877-500-5266.
And remember, folks, it's just a pledge of $75 for a pair of tickets to this fantastic show. And pick up the phone, make that call.
And I'm Demi Roberts, stage and studio. And I do want to urge people to pick up these tickets. It's a great value. And it's also important that, you know, that you recognize that KABU does socially relevant arts coverage here. And that's what I strive for at Stage and Studio. I'm Demi Roberts, and I'm with my guests, Monica Fleetwood, Jacob Beaver, and Tahera Cozier, all from Portland Actors Conservatory's production of In the Blood by Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright Suzanne Laurie Parks. And the main character is Hester La Negrita, is that correct?
Yes,
ma'am. Okay, a homeless single mother of five who dreams of finding beauty and love for her family despite her poverty-stricken life. And Monica, you have a short little preview for us right now, a little performance.
I do.
Okay, and can you set it up for us, like what part of the play this
is? Yes, this is this is the second act towards the middle, and Hester has just went to see Reverend D for the second time, and she's very hopeful that he's going to help her out financially and support her, and also kind of romantically and emotionally. And so at this point, he's trying to leave, and she's discussing these moments of seeing these visions. And so that's where we are at and when this monologue begins.
And this is from In the Blood.
I was crossing the street with the kids. We had a walk sign. White is walk, red is don't walk. I know white from red, I ain't colorblind, right? And we was crossing, and a shadow fell over everything and started going dark. And shoot, I had to look up. They say when there's an eclipse, you're not supposed to look at it because you go blind, and all I need is to go blind, thank you. But I couldn't help myself. I stood right there in the street and I looked up, and I ain't never seen nothing like it. I don't know what I expected to see, but it was this big dark thing blocking out the sun, like the hand of fate, with its five fingers coming down on me. And the trumpet started blaring, and there's Jerris Jabber saying, come on, mommy, come on. And these trumpets are taxi cabs wanting to run me over and get out the road. That's it.
Beautifully done. It is such poetic writing.
Yeah,
it really is.
And
it does remind me of classical style. I didn't want to say Greek tragedy, but it almost is, isn't it?
No, it absolutely is. Victor Magbear definitely had a vision of a very classical, timeless image. And we actually had a Bob from Oregon Arts Watch described it as a mix with The Scarlet Letter by however Medea too, from the Greek tragedy, and it absolutely is a tragedy.
It does remind me of Medea.
Yeah, it absolutely
in many ways. but that was beautifully done.
Thank
How
you.
Was it to work with Victor Mack? Because he is, you know, a great actor and director, and he's been around in the Portland community for decades now. So what were your experiences working with him?
He's a good man. He was really great to work with. A very strong individual who really pulled a lot out of us. Who, you know, when we thought we didn't have any more to give, he pulled out an extra 120% from us.
He pushed you.
Yeah. he's very inspirational in that way. You know, he gets behind the work and stands strong with what he believes. And so being able to work with that was very inspirational in that way.
Well, so you mentioned having discussions. How socially relevant is it to these times now, this play, In the Blood? How would you say, does it compare now?
Oh, it's incredibly relevant. I mean, this play talks about, it exploits poverty. It talks about a female, like it exploits females, children, all of those things that are so currently relevant. It's something you can walk outside and kind of see. It's now changed the way I look at the world. Like now I walk down the street and I'm like, I have no idea what this person's going through. I have no idea who's talking to this person. It's just, and like especially some of the economic turmoil that is happening, and some of government administrations and things like that, which come up in the play, especially with the welfare character, or even the doctor character, when you're talking about somebody's medical health and their access to that and what that may look like. These are all themes and concepts that come in this play, and they just play such a big part as of telling modern day story. And especially when these two have mentioned timeless, it's something that you can do right now, and it's applicable. And then it's something that was applicable 20 years ago. It's something that's going to probably be applicable again in the next 20 years, unfortunately. But it definitely transcends itself when it comes to those concepts.
Wow, very well put. I think it really does tie into a lot of what's happening still, right? And for good or ill, that's important to bring that out in the play itself. And so I'm just wondering, you're all the Portland Conservatory actors.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you in the first year or second year?
The second year.
So you're about to graduate. How much do you say you've grown in your craft since being at Portland Actors Conservatory?
Exponentially, for me. I came from kind of a community theater background before I even tried to pursue any sort of educational theater and learn any techniques. So I feel like a night and day difference from who I was before the program and who I am now.
And how about you, Ty?
I graduated from Florida State, go Noles, and have to do a shout out or they're going to like excommunicate me. I feel like I've grown in a way where the training is a lot more intimate here, which is nice because that's what I really needed. I needed to be able to actually pick techniques that work and hone in on them, and then be able to not so much do the big and glitzy, but do the more intimate and real. And that's what I learned here at this conservatory.
And Monica?
I came from no theater background. I just kind of got into it post doing college. Anyways, so yeah, I just went down that memory lane.
I remember back in college.
Yeah, just today. But I've grown exponentially. I'm on a stage for almost 90 minutes, barely.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a long time to be on the stage. And I didn't think I would be able to do that a year ago. And what PAC has given me is the nourishment from the teachers who are locally working actors and directors. And Victor Matt came in. And I mean, gosh, when you have people that literally support you and they see that little glimmer that sometimes people just don't get and they nourish that, I mean, you have no choice but to go up and just feed creativity. So I mean, I've always had it, but I had the support and the loving and the relationships and like the history from everybody else just pouring into me, and then that's how I'm able to do this role and love this role and see people from a different aspect.
Yeah, sounds
and
wonderful.
She's being modest because she drives the entire show. So like, without her, we wouldn't be any.
Well, so now it's 90 minutes, like straight through is the play? 90 minutes? I love that. It's
we
it plays out like a
movie.
We have a
10-minute intermission.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all
we
right.
have a 10-minute intermission, but yeah, we're driving all the way. I mean, you have like a moment of like getting yourself together and we're back in it and we're just going all the way till the end.
Well, like I said, all the comments that I've had from people and who've been posting have just raved about this show. So don't miss it.
The
Blood, Portland Actors Conservatory. It's a play by Pulitzer Prize winning playwright Suzanne Laurie Parks. Rarely performed, I must say, and directed by the great Victor Mack. All performances run through February 26th and take place at Portland Actors Conservatory's Firehouse Theater. Great intimate space located at 1436 Southwest Montgomery Street in Portland. Shows does have strong language and sexual content, and it's recommended for ages 15 and older. More info and tickets at pac.edu or by calling us right now at KABU at 1-877-500-5266. And we have pairs of tickets available for your memberships. I want to thank you all for coming here during our membership drive. Monica Fleetwood, Jacob Beaver, and Ty Hara, Cozy A, love your name. Thank you for dropping by during
thank
the membership
you.
Drive.
Yes, thank you.
And continue breaking legs on the rest of your
thank
run
you so
there.
Much.
Appreciate
we
you.
Will.
Thank you very much.
Let's check in with Membership Central.
Good morning, D-May. Good morning, D-May. Remind you of just what it takes to keep a program like Stage and Studio happening when you tune to 90.7 FM or log on at kboo.fm. It takes you. That's right. Community radio requires community support. We heard one of the actresses talking about how important it was to receive that support and all the love of and support for her creativity to blossom. KABU blossoms with your love and support. Why not show some of that love and support in the form of $6.25 each and every month for KABU? You can arrange for your bank to make that remittance on your behalf. Call 877 800-500-5266 and ask the volunteer who takes your call to how you can make that happen. It starts with you. It starts now. 877-500-5266.
I'm Dima Roberts, and we're back with the one-hour membership drive edition of Stage and Studio. And here in the KBOO studio is Maisha McQueen. Welcome to Stage and Studio.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
It's great to see you. You know, I've been seeing pictures of you because you're performing His Eye is on the Sparrow, One Woman, Just You, musical celebrating the life of Ethel Waters, running at Portland Center Stage at the Armory through March 26th. You've been extended.
I have.
How do you feel about that?
It feels wonderful.
You're going to work longer.
A little bit longer.
A little bit longer. So welcome to Stage and Studio. Yeah, you wowed audiences in Ain't Misbehaving, which was last year, you know, yes. At Portland Center Stage. Mm-hmm. And you're back to star in this one-woman show about Ethel Waters, the great singer and actress. Now, I remember her as an actor more than a singer,
right.
Like Member of the Wedding and Pinky, mm-hmm. one of the earlier films, I guess, mm-hmm. That dealt with mixed race. And what's your earliest memory of Ethel Waters?
Quite honestly, I had heard her name come up in the same, you know, vein as like Lena Horne and Josephine Baker. I didn't really know a lot about her, to be honest. excuse me. Probably in the last couple of years, just being more learned about African-American women who were dynamic on many, you know, fronts, television, film, recording artists, her name started to come up a little bit more. And then when I was offered this, I, of course, did my research and was like, oh, wow, how did I not know more about
exactly.
this woman?
Yeah. I mean, she went through this, which I'm sure we'll talk more about in your play, but mm-hmm. she went through such a long journey from being on the black vaudeville circuit
right.
to becoming a blues singer and then I guess a movie star, you know,
yeah.
and then recreated herself to sing gospel, you
right.
know? So there's a whole journey of her that, you know, is just very expansive. I want to play, my earliest memory was in Member of the Wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to play this little clip, which is her just singing to a very young Julie Harris.
Yes.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely away from heaven? For Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. For his eye is on the sparrow.
So the title of that, His Eyes on the Sparrow, I assume you sing that song.
I do.
The show.
Yeah, I do. And it was also the name of the first autobiography, that she wrote in the song.
I didn't know she wrote an autobiography.
She has two. Wow. That one and another one called To Me It's Wonderful, which she wrote in her later life when she was already singing with the Billy Graham Crusade.
Which makes me even wonder why we don't know more about Ethel Waters.
Well, you know? here's the reason that I've kind of gathered. Her commercial career was very it was heightened earlier on, and so when she kind of left commercial entertainment and went into the gospel world, it was kind of in her 50s, 60s. She started in her 30s. So her career was about a 20-year span, which seems like a long time. But if you look at other people like Lena Horne, who started in her 20s and even until her 70s or whatever, she was still performing in a commercial market. And so the thing about Ethel is that she left, you know, TV, film, and
then world.
Yes, the commercial world, and there are some reasons for that. You know, she kind of was at a crossroads in her own life, and she had a very vibrant personality, to say the least. And she, you know, she stood very strongly for what she believed, and that cost her sometimes. So
how much of her life do you cover in His Eyes on the Sparrow?
We cover a good deal. There are some elements of her life that the playwright decided not to even touch upon. I think the biggest focus for this particular piece is the circumstances that she came out of and what she was able to, how she was able to persevere. You know, there was something that I read about the show that talked about how a lot of biographical work about entertainers talk a lot about the struggle in the entertainment business. And don't get me wrong, I mean, racially, culturally, being a woman, all those things came into play. But Ethel ran away from her calling for a long time. You know, it chose her. And so a lot of her barriers were more so in her own personal life, in her own personal demons, as opposed to trying to knock on doors to be in the business and the doors being shut. There is definitely racism and discrimination, and she had to fight, but she was talented and people wanted her. So the show really more so focuses on her own personal journey of overcoming the way that she grew up.
Well, you hinted at that Ethel Waters had some I don't know, we're being filmed live here, is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. I just want to get your permission on the air. You hinted at that she was outspoken.
Yes.
How did she get, I mean, I don't want to say get in trouble, but
yeah. It
you know, she did sort of get knocked out of the
blackballed
world.
To a certain degree.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when you see the show, if you do any research on her, you will learn that she grew up in abject poverty. And she basically raised herself. She raised herself, and so, of course, that created a very tough exterior. And so the combination of that tough exterior with the things that she had to combat in the entertainment world, people put up with it for a long time because she was so good. And like you said, I mean, some people know her as a vocalist, but her acting was just superb, and she was very sought after. And so for a long time, even though she sort of had this reputation of standing up for herself in ways that some people may not have liked, they still, you know, tolerated it because they wanted her.
What are some of the songs that you're singing in the show? Because I watched some of your videos. You are a powerhouse of a singer.
Oh, thank you.
You are. And I'm not going to ask you to sing because you've been doing like a show every day practically, right?
Kind of.
Yeah.
You will hear His Eyes on the Sparrow a few times. You will hear Stormy Weather, which a lot of people don't know. She actually made that song.
I didn't know that.
She
I thought
recorded
it was Lena
that.
Horne.
See,
yeah.
And that's part of her, uh-huh. her kind of her resentment, just in people knowing her name. So she recorded it first.
Really?
And then Lena Horne made it famous. You'll hear Cabin in the Sky. You'll hear Am I Blue? You'll hear Taking a Chance on Love. You will hear... those are like the most famous ones. If I name some others, people may not know them.
Well, what's the most, I guess, challenging aspect of singing Ethel Waters? Are you trying to be Ethel Waters? I mean, that's always when you're doing sort of a bio theater piece. How far do you go? What's involved in that?
Well, Ethel and I just naturally have different voices. But I have to highlight the director, Timothy Douglas, who revolutionized my life. He changed my life in that from day one, he said, this is not about you trying to be just like her. This is about us getting into what this particular playwright is trying to do and how he's trying to highlight aspects of her life. So, of course, I studied and I looked at ways that just even the style in which people sang back then, like even if you heard the clip, there's just a way that they approached music and singing that's different.
How would you describe that?
Well, to be technical, there's definitely like a run to the consonants, like, you know, friend, like she just goes to the,
right.
Excuse me. Sorry. Yeah.
Just save your voice.
Yeah. Okay.
But no, that's a good example.
But, yeah, but hit the consonants. Absolutely. Yeah. Hitting the consonants and allow, I mean, songwriting during that time was just on another level, and it was so competitive, you know, just to be a songwriter in those days and to come up with the most brilliant, catchiest, most vivid lyrics. And she got some of the best songs. So what's been very luscious and delicious for me as a musician and an artist is to really sing songs where the writing and the lyrics are just, you know, out of this world and tell such amazing stories.
Well, I want to ask you another question after this, but I want to let folks know who are listening now that Portland Center Stage is presenting His Eye on the Sparrow by Larry Parr, directed by Timothy Douglas, starring my guest here, Myesha McQueen, one-woman musical celebrating the life of Ethel Waters, running through March 26th at... March 26th. Showtimes are Tuesday through Sunday evenings at 7:30. And then there's also matinees. You can check the schedule. Recommended for ages 14 and up. It contains mature content and language. All shows are in the Ellen By Studio at the Armory, located at 128 Northwest 11th Avenue in Portland. And tickets are available at pcs.org or by calling us at KBOO, because we have pairs of tickets available. That's a secret. 1-877-500-5266. And I just want, what would you, and I have all that info at stageandstudio.org, kboo.fm/stageandstudio. I was wondering, what would you like people to know about Ethel Waters? You know, if you could pick like one or two things, what have you learned and what do you want people to really come out with as far as Ethel Waters, the person?
I think the two things that come to me first is number one, just if you weren't born in her era, you may not know her. It definitely is a generational thing. There are people who know her, like we know Beyonce, and then there are people who have never heard of her. So just the information of her being, I mean, it is Black History Month, but just for common knowledge, someone who has contributed so much to the American art form, that's one. And two, I think you know, again, learning as much about her her earlier life and the things that she had to endure, that anything can be possible. That sometimes you don't have the story that I pulled myself up from my bootstraps. I think the universe just really, and God, you know, if that's what you believe, just really kind of wrapped her in his arms and was like, I'm going to... You know, I'm not going to let you be a victim to your circumstances and the beauty of that. And I think that is why at the very end of her career, she felt like she had no choice but to dedicate it to a higher power, because she was very aware that it wasn't her. She wasn't in control of her circumstances and what ended up happening to her. She was talented in all of those things, but they were all gifts. So those are the two things I would say.
And she really reinvented herself so many times.
She really did.
I mean, that perseverance alone is worth inspiration.
Absolutely. She was an artist first. She was an artist first. And there's a famous interview that she has. It's on YouTube. And she's asked about the racism that she endured in the Black circuit versus the white circuit. And her perspective on it was very interesting. She said, well, if you were good, you could perform anywhere. And she got some backlash from that, because a lot of people, especially during the 60s and 70s, when racial movements were, you know, they felt like she needed to speak out more. And her thing was, listen, you know, where I'm from, I mean, of course, audiences were segregated, but, you know, if you had it, you had it. And that was her perspective as a professional. And I can see where she's coming from to a certain degree. And I think it also is the fight for her just to want to be an artist and to not, she didn't want to have to speak for an entire race of people. She wanted to just be able to be an artist. Now, I may not feel like I have that luxury, or that may not be my personal opinion or perspective, but I do get it. I get it. So
it sounds like you are connected to her too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She's in me.
She's in you.
Yeah.
And you really understand her struggle. She went through.
I do. We have a lot of parallels. I am fortunate enough to not have been endured the things that she endured as a young person. I have very supportive parents and you know, was able to go to performing arts schools and things of that nature. But what we do have in common is that, you know, I kind of fought this for a long time. I was an educator for 13 years. As soon as I graduated from college with a theater degree, I went into education, partly because I always loved working with children, but I also just kind of, there was something about the entertainment business that I was scared of. I was like, I don't know if I'm ready for all of the pulls and pushes and energy. And it kind of had to find me. So Ethel and I have that in common.
And you're really sought after. I saw your website and all your upcoming performances mm-hmm. and schedules throughout the year. So congratulations
Thank
on
you.
That.
I appreciate
well,
it.
Well, one more shout out, Portland Center Stage, His Eye on the Sparrow, starring Maisha McQueen, my guest here, woman musical, celebrating the life of Ethel Waters. It sounds fantastic, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in it.
Thank you.
Maisha McQueen, so great to have you here. And I just want to remind people, all shows are at the Ellen By Studio Armory, 128 Northwest 11th Avenue in Portland. And we have 3 pairs of tickets available to Portland Center Stage's production. Maisha, thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much.
Let's check in with Membership Central.
And I'd sure like to check in with you, dear listener, because this is KBOO's Membership Drive for winter 2017. And we would like to thank you for your support. But of course, I can't do that until you make the call. How do you do that? Well, we'll get to that. Why would you do that? That's what we're about, because we keep you informed about local activists and arts and groups and performers such as Ms. Maisha here, who's generous with her time and energy to join Dime on the air to tell you all about the upcoming show, His Eye is on the Sparrow. And we'd like to thank, she was thanking her supportive parents for making sure that she could attend a performing arts educational facility institution, as you call it. You know, KBOO's an institution, too, that has a whole bunch of performing arts information and education here for you. And why is that? Because your friends and neighbors have been here to make sure it's available. They called 877-500-5266, as did both Fred and Maria. Maria's a brand new member out in Kaiser, right down the Willamette Valley from Portland, maybe listening at 104.3 out of Corvallis and Philomath. However she listens, we are very happy to welcome her to the KBOO family, and we're very happy to take Fred's renewal of his membership from somewhere that has a telephone connection, either wires or a cell tower. We don't know, but what we do know is that Fred is a member of the KBOO Foundation, and Fred considers KBOO to be an important part of his media diet, and important enough for him to put his money into it to keep it available for you. What's KBOO worth for you? Let us know, 877-500-5266. Are you willing to put down $10 a month and have KBOO thank you for your support with a pair of tickets waiting for you at the box office to see your choice of performance of His Eye is on the Sparrow? Give us a call right now and make that happen, 877-500-5266.
On the phone, I'm Dime Roberts, Stage and Studio, 1 hour edition today. With me on the phone is Shalonda Sims. Hello, Shalonda, are you there?
Hello, Dime.
Hello, and you are producing your yearly Black History Month celebration called Who I Am Celebrating Me. Welcome
yes.
back, Shalonda.
Thank you.
You started this 10 years ago. We're going to do a little backstory here. When you realized there were no actual performance events that celebrated Black History Month, you got together a community of talented people, pretty large community, I must say, having seen one of your shows. Tell us about the community of artists you work with for your celebration each year.
Well, we first our goal was to get it into the school. So we reached out to youth, opened it up to young people who didn't necessarily have a background in theater, but they kind of have what we call natural talent. And we wanted to cultivate that and get them on the stage to educate them. And we thought that was the best way through the arts, was to educate them about Black history. Then we went ahead and we got some professional artists, professional musicians and singers in the community that were well known, and have them come and join and kind of mentor the younger people to be a part of this production. And we had educators and just regular community members come along and support us. So that's how we started.
But now you're doing this big show. So how, you know, how big was the cast for this year? Because it was pretty large last year.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, last year it was about 30. I think this year is about the same.
About the same 30 people?
35.
Yeah. And what type of, I guess, what part of American history are you covering this time around, African American history?
So we do a timeline, and we start from Africa and bring you to modern day.
Any particular, I mean, are you, is it the same show? Are you choosing different aspects of the history?
Well, we have different aspects of the show. Sometimes we do the same show 2 years in a row, and then we switch it up. Mm. But we have different aspects, different people to highlight, because there's so many notable African-Americans to put into this piece. So, yes, we change it up every
year. I don't see how you could do the same show, frankly. I mean, you know, last year my favorite part was the Harlem Renaissance section. What's your favorite section this year? Do you have one?
Oh, I don't know. I honestly don't know. That is so hard. I love it all. I really do. But I think maybe this year it might be
the ending. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, music is an important part of Who I Am Celebrating Me, and what music are you featuring in this production?
Oh my goodness, we're featuring Negro spirituals, jazz, gospel music, hip-hop.
So you bring it to modern times, right?
Yeah, we're featuring it all. It's something for everybody.
Well, since you began creating Who I Am Celebrating Me, you've helped, I guess, you know, you were talking about getting into the school system and helping to inform more than 10,000 students. And then you also went into the business sector and their employees about African-American history. Is that accurate, that 10,000 number? I mean, that seems like a huge impact there.
Yeah, because, I mean, we've been at schools who have 3,000 students and 1,000 students. So, you know, yeah, and we've been going into corporate businesses, performing for them, performing for their Black history. Our first performance when we first started was actually at the Nike Corporation.
Well, you know, you've alluded to that 10 years ago there wasn't much in the way of African-American history, right, being taught as well
right.
as being performed. Would you say that has changed somewhat in the last 10 years?
Yes. We've seen so many different programs pop up in celebration of Black history. There's a lot of them going on this month, so we're happy about that.
Yeah, that's a good thing, right? That's
right.
a good thing. And so,
right.
you know, it's good that you're offering this to who am I celebrating? It's Who I Am, right?
Yes.
Who I Am Celebrating Me performs one show only, February 25th at 7:30 p.m. at Concordia University in Portland, and that's located at 2811 Northeast Holman Street in Portland. Why do you keep doing this every year, Shalonda? What is your motivation now after 10 years?
My motivation is because although we're performing and we're seeing a lot more events during Black history, it's still not being taught in the schools, like in regular curriculum. And who we call the father of Black history, Carter G. Woodson, that was his goal, was to get it into the curriculum because it was being misrepresented. And so that's our goal. We want to make sure that Black history is being represented in the correct way in the curriculum, and that not just African Americans, but everyone can see themselves in the history books and see, you know, an unbiased representation of themselves.
And music and dance is such a fun way to learn history, my
yes,
personal
it is.
View. Because you do a lot of dancing as well as singing in the show.
Yes. And it's amazing because the youth in our program who have been in it like 7 to 10 years, we have these conversations where they have been able to take what we've performed and kind of educate their teachers and the students who are in their class when they come up, you know, at a different time period in history. They're able to say what they know and share it.
And there aren't a lot of family opportunities either. So what I found wonderful was that you had youth and adults working together, you know,
yes.
in the same scenes and the same songs.
Yes.
You know. You're
multi-generational.
Yeah. And it really, you know, makes that connection that we're all part of the same family.
Right.
Well, who... I am celebrating me, one show only, February 25th, 7:30 p.m., Concordia University, 2811 Northeast Holman Street in Portland. We have tickets available, actually one pair of tickets available to Who I Am Celebrating Me, and it's here at KBOO at 1-877-500-5266, or that spells KBOO. And you can show your support by, you know, for socially relevant arts coverage on stage and studio, as well as on KBOO, by calling that number, 1-877-500-5266. I just want to say thank you for doing this every year, Shalonda Sims. I mean, you know, you're filling a void and creating the show every year that's not only entertains but highlights history that's often overlooked still, even though there's more about history, it's still overlooked.
Right.
So kudos to you and
thank you.
Keeping on doing it, you know?
Thank you. And thank you for your support.
Well, and see you at your show.
Thank
you. Break
you.
Legs. Okay, take care,
right.
Shalonda.
Bye-bye.
And so you can find out more about all of my guests at kboo.fm/stageandstudio, as well as stageandstudio.org. I'm Demay Roberts, and I want to thank you for joining me on this Membership Drive show. We have a few minutes left. I'm going to turn over to talk with Membership Central. We do have tickets available to Who I Am Celebrating Me and other shows during this one-hour Black History Month special edition of Stage and Studio, In the Blood by Suzanne Laurie Parks, and which got rave reviews, and His Eye on the Sparrow, also raved about, a musical about Ethel Waters. So I have any of those tickets? Are there still lots of tickets left for people to call right now at 1-877-500-5266?
That is true. You can still score one of those as a little icing for your KBOO cake when you call to support fierce, independent community media that is centered on bringing you what is relevant and meaningful to you, regardless of any commercial appeal that may or may not also exist.
Well said.
It's not about it's not about making a profit for shareholders. It's about bringing you what you need to be a well-informed and fully rounded human being, because that's what community is about. Humans coming together, each working for the benefit of all. You are the you in community radio, and it takes you and your friends and neighbors. They've stepped up. Now it's your turn. 877-500-5266. These are some very deep and intense performances that are coming up, and that happens because their constituencies support them, and KBOO supports them, making sure that their constituencies, i.e. you are KBOO's constituency as well. You got a few prongs on which to skewer yourself, and which one are you going to do? How about choosing KBOO this time? 87, do both. Support theater in the Portland Metro and support electronic community media focused on the needs and desires of the community all at once. Call 877-500-5266 and ask the volunteer who takes your call to help connect you with some of these
wonderful actually great opportunities. I hear from a lot of people that, oh, I can't go to theater, it's too expensive. But here's your opportunity
exactly.
to not only, you know, donate and become a member or any kind of, you know, renewal at KBOO, but also to see these shows. For $120 membership, you get a pair of tickets tickets to His Eye on the Sparrow by phenomenal singer Maisha McQueen, performing Ethel Waters, the famous Ethel Waters. It's such a beautiful performance of music and song and dramatic acting. We also have these three young actors performing a Greek tragedy of The Scarlet Letter, told through a single mom of five who, you know, rises above and finds strength and inspiration. And that's a $75 pair, you know, for one pair of tickets and $75 membership. And then, I don't know, has the Milagro Theater tickets gone? Are they? Is there still a pair of tickets available?
Those are still available.
You know, I just saw a wonderful LGBT show, a brand new world premiere. It's called Swimming While Drowning, and it was so inspirational. These two young LGBT young actors who are in a teen shelter for LGBTs who are, you know, homeless, and they find, you know, love and beauty amidst that experience. Very inspirational. And that's for a $75 membership to Milagro Theater. And actually, you can see any of the shows up until May 27th. That voucher is good for the rest of the season as well. And Milagro does such incredible, intimate, original work. So I highly recommend that. Just so many opportunities here. And it's all because you are a member and you join or renew your membership or up your membership right now by calling 1-877-500-5266. These are worthy plays, worthy pieces of art that speak to now, that speak to what we're going through as a nation, as a country, and as a city. And, you know, here are young performers giving you, you know, that opportunity. 1-877-500-5266. I'd like to hear the phone ring as soon as possible. 1-877-500-5266 or kbu.fm.